More B-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I can only tell you that when you read the stories that say Josh Schertz removed his name from consideration here, I don't think I'm talking out of school to say he really wanted to come. Let's just leave it at that. That's not talking out of school, right?
Oh, it's,
so leave it at that. All right. What else are we doing here?
We got our man Eric Crawford on.
Eric Crawford. Has he ever been on with us before? I don't know.
Once or twice.
Never.
Crawdaddy. That's what we started calling him, but then we called him Smush, which I like better. How are you, my friend?
Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks for checking in. Appreciate that. Eric from... I don't know what part of town you live in, so I can't even do it that way. Like, Eric from...
I'm in between parts right now.
Eric,
I don't know where I am.
Are you homeless?
I think I'm in J-Town right now. I'm in the car.
All right. Eric from J-Town joining us now. Eric, thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
I don't know.
I'm going to cough here for a minute. There we go. Listen, you know, when I wait on it, I think Josh Schertz would have been a great hire here, but evidently the whatever that thing you were talking about that he signed with St. Louis was the whole deal breaker. It was the whole deal breaker. So that's disappointing. And it sounds like I've tried to differentiate between things that we kind of know for facts and things that we are speculating on. I mean, I think I can say with certainty that this was the guy that Josh Hurd really wanted, and he wanted him for a while. And if that's the case, I'm just a little surprised they couldn't work something out to, I assume it was St. Louis that they would have had to buy out. How do you weigh in on that?
I think the same thing, and I'm like, well, why didn't Dusty May, why didn't he do the same deal with Louisville? I mean, what were they not doing right that they didn't get that done? I put a little of it on Schertz, too. I mean, you're signing pretty quickly when there's jobs out there. So, but, again, I don't know. It's hard not knowing what the particulars are. But, if you know, I wouldn't think anything like that would stop, you know, a school of Louisville's size and resources from doing what it wanted to do as far as a coach. And maybe it wanted to go with Pat Kelsey anyway in the end, or maybe that was part of their thought, you know, or whatever. But, you know, and I know there were people that wanted Kelsey that think he was the best recruiter of the group, and recruiting is everything, so maybe that's how that went. There are a lot of people that have a very high opinion of him as a coach and a recruiter, and his, you know, what he's done, you can't argue with. He's built great records at the schools where he's been. But that whole thing is still strange to me. I would not think that, you know, any kind of understanding that you sign, even if there's a binding or financial part to it, would stop, you know, a school from Louisville from getting who they want. But honestly, one of the things I think as we've looked through all this process is that Louisville is not in the financial place of strength, certainly that it used to be, and maybe not even that I thought it was. So that's part of what I take away.
I have to tell you, I kind of agree with you, and in some ways, you know, I want to tip my hat to a degree. And somebody's going to say, what, are you crazy? But that's the AD's job. He's supposed to be fiscally responsible. That whether you like it or I like it, it's not our money, so we don't care, but he is supposed to. So, and he said when he had that press conference, you know, they were not willing to go pay these, you know, $8, $10 million buyouts to try and get somebody. But I heard through the grapevine that they were like all the talk about Dusty May and, you know, whether it's negative energy or whatever. The fact of the matter is he got a deal from Michigan that I don't think they would have given him here. I really don't. That's again, now we're talking opinion. Now you can yell at me if you want to, yeah. But I don't know if they would have been willing even to pay that.
I don't know. That's a good point. And I, you know, we don't know what the deal is with Kelsey, and I don't even know that it's signed yet. All that we just know is that he's got it, and I think there were some financial discussions with Pitino. I don't think there was an actual offer. If it was, it wasn't obviously one that satisfied him. So I just don't know. But I know they laid out. Look, think about it though. They did. They laid out a lot of money, or are going to, for Kenny Payne to get out of that deal. And to be quite honest, there's some major boosters who were behind Kenny that would have liked to seen him stay. And then that turns off kind of a source of revenue that may have been there for a long time. And you've got other you know, people with money saying, well, we like this guy, not this guy, or whatever. There are a lot of constituencies you have to start playing to when you're in Josh Hurd's situation. I don't envy it, but it looks like they've made their choice, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he does. I mean, he's won, he's good. I just don't know enough about him, and I've watched and studied as much as anybody has, but we just have to, it's got to be a get-to-know-you process now between him and fans and everybody else.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I it doesn't make me happy to say this because I'm a big Josh Hurd fan, and I like him personally, and I respect him professionally. But this really, I got to be honest, he painted himself into this corner. I mean, if Josh Schertz is the guy he wanted, and now I'm giving you opinion. My opinion is that is who he wanted. He could have gotten him basically for free, you know, a month ago. But when he lost in the conference championship game, he got cold feet. He was nervous that the criticism would be too harsh. And so he passed on it. And now he put himself in a position where the reality is a guy you wanted is going to wind up going to St. Louis instead of coming to Louisville. Or you're going to wind up paying, I don't know, I have no idea what this buyout is, but I guess it's not insignificant to get him and say, well, I could have gotten him for basically nothing 2 months ago, and now I'm paying all this money, and I don't think they were willing to do that. But that's a damned if you do and damned if you don't scenario there.
Yeah, and I think he went after Scott Drew, which I think 90% of
Louisville
fans would endorse more. I mean, we said he's the guy. Call him and see what he says, and that made sense. And then he got Dusty May. I mean, Dusty May was ready to roll, and something, you know, I don't know what happened, and you could say it was a last-minute bid by Michigan or something else, but there's a reason that he had pretty much agreed, and they had told other schools, all right, back off at Louisville, and then it wasn't all of a sudden. So you could read that for whatever it was. I'm not laying that even at Josh's feet. At that point, though, it was, you know, things were tougher. I mean, Schertz, I don't think, signs with St. Louis if Dusty hasn't said, all right, I'm going to Louisville.
No, I don't think there's any question about that.
I think that there's, eventually, you're the AD, it falls on you, but I feel bad for him in a sense for that because I don't know. I mean, I know what I think. We won't get back into that whole bag of worms. I don't think we're, you know, we don't. I'm not saying death threats, stuff like that. I didn't say that. I just said the words, but I don't think that. But I just don't know. Something weird happened with that whole deal, and I can't fault Josh for it, whatever it is, for that. But in the end, it's been a tough – it's after that, it gets really weird. The whole Patino thing is confusing to me because I don't know why you even have discussions if you're not going to hire him, because that churned up so much that – it really got a little wild.
It's crazy, but, you know, as the guy's always talking about letting the cake bake, that's all we were at the end reduced to doing, and now apparently the cake is going to be close to coming out of the oven. But I guess it literally, as of today, was still being discussed. I mean, I guess they were still trying to discuss with Josh Schertz what the settlement situation might be, if they could reach that with St. Louis, and I guess they couldn't, and so they wisely had a plan B in place, and that's good, and certainly...
Well, and the thing about Kelsey is that he's been on a list since the start. I mean, he's always been on, you know, the short list, so it's not like a guy they just pulled out of thin air. There's always been some a level of interest there with him. And I'm not, you know, he was an associate head coach for Dino Gaudio, who I like, you know, all the stuff that happened here notwithstanding. I always have thought a great deal of him, and I know he kind of went a little crazy when he got fired, but a lot of people have. You know, that was all unfortunate. And Mac, I mean, people here, I mean, Mac was not a bad coach while he was here. Had some very difficult circumstances, and this guy doesn't play quite their style. He may play a little more tempo than they do, but So let's see. Let's see if he's good and get to know him. And hopefully he ends up being a guy that everybody was glad ended up being the result of this search.
Well, he's got some work to do. But after all of the people we talked about, honestly, he was hardly ever mentioned, right? I mean,
not really. He was always in there, but not heavily discussed. I had two paragraphs on him in the hot board, so that's not nothing. But he wasn't the main guy, no.
He is. You know who he is? He's mine that bird.
I don't know if he's that big a long shot.
But you didn't even hear his name mentioned until he came up the rail.
He didn't get a call.
No, he didn't get a call. And in fact, it kind of cost whatever that guy's name who was the track announcer his job because he didn't even see him. Remember? What was the guy who said?
Yeah.
I mean, and
who was that guy?
What was his name? Oh, man.
Giacomo?
No, the track announcer.
Oh,
Nick wasn't paying attention. You know what we were talking about. The poor guy had a
British guy.
No, you're 0 for 2. You're so far off base. He was the track announcer in New York, and he was too vain to wear his glasses for the post draw.
Oh, and he missed
so
the,
he screwed up the names there. And then the Derby came, and he didn't know he wasn't. Nobody was following mine that bird. So the horse came up the rail, and he did not identify him till like the race was over. And then he was like, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. But I'll have to see if we can figure out who the hell that was. I'm going to see if I can get that call. Find the end of the race. Anyway, so what do you expect an announcement today, tomorrow? What do you think? Where are we going?
I don't know. I don't know what we're doing. I quit giving up knowing what was happening in the future. I wrote a story looking where we are in the coaching search, and like 10 minutes after I post it, news breaks. It's going to be, Jeff Goodman, who is really tight with Kelsey, says it's Kelsey. A weird thing about Kelsey, he took the UMass job in 2017, and
backed out 20 minutes before they were going to introduce him
and left. Yeah, just took off, and he took the media out. Nobody knew what was going on, and left. So that was a weird thing. So having said that, I don't expect anything weird, but this is Louisville, and given how this thing has gone, let's see. But he's in place, I believe. I believe the deal, was done a good earlier today. So it's just a question of dotting the I's, and they've got to figure out, what the process is for, introducing him, what day that'll be. But I would encourage them not to dilly-dally too much on any of this, because fans have been, this has been tough on fans. Well, forget fans. It's been tough on us. Well,
it really has.
Get this done. Get him in place. Get him to work and let him work, and that'll be the job of everybody. Just let the man work, let him do what he does, and I think the program will be better. It'll be better next season, and we'll see if it's better enough to fan satisfaction. But we'll just see.
Tom Durkin was the track announcer, by the way.
Oh, Durkin.
And okay. I'm going to play this call because I'm a little salty at the way this whole thing played out. And here's him. Here it is.
Beginning to come alive now. And he's eighth on the outside. Then down toward the rail, it's advice as the field turns for home. Top of the stretch. It's still joined in the dance with a tenuous lead. Regal Ransom and Pioneer of the Nile strike the front just outside the eight pole. Musket Man is coming hard down the center of the track. And Papa Clem's right there, too. Down toward the inside, coming on through. That is my net bird. Now is coming on to take the lead as they come down to the finish. And a spectacular upset.
He didn't call him until the horse was like three jumps from the finish. And when he did, he was like, and coming up, that's mine, that bird. He was like shocked. So that's
I guess it's a closer. We had him in the top five the whole time, but even so, did not pay really a ton of attention because all of our attention was always elsewhere. It was either Drew or May and even Shirts, I wasn't sure about. But, I think that the thing about Shirts is that there was so much talk about him, and then, all the hubbub, and people got to starting to watch him, and they're like, hey, this guy's kind of fun. Let's see what we've got here.
Yeah, exactly.
So he actually picked up some support after that, but it couldn't be worked out. And then the Patino thing, I just think was – kind of an unfortunate detour, but we have gotten here, and so here we are. Everybody get out of the car and stretch your legs. Hopefully things will be good.
I like that. Everybody get out of the car, stretch your legs. It's been an interesting journey. I knew we shouldn't have made that left back at that statue. I told you we were supposed to go straight, but now we're here.
Yeah, you had to get off the interstate, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's like the Bugs Bunny cartoons. I shouldn't have made that left turn. Out
Thank you, Bugs. You're exactly right. Well, we're here. So anyway, there we go. All right, man. Thanks for name. I sent you a message. You get it?
I'll look at it. I'm in the car. So
right. You'll be interested in it. All right. Stay with us here on the show. Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye. Good talking to you. Eric Crawford with us here. And there you go. So there you go.
There you go. That quote.
What quotation are we talking about?
That Louisville isn't the financial place it once was.
Oh, I don't think I know. How can anybody doubt that? Seriously, how could you possibly go through what they've gone through in the last few years with lawsuits and coaches that you're and ADs and settlements? And you can't. I mean, you know, this. And to be honest with you, and boy, people are going to get mad. There was some funny bunny stuff going on for a while there with, you know, when they were talking about. Say it very carefully because I don't want to offend. I'm not trying to cause a fight. There was a lot of boasting going on about how much money they were making in the athletic department. And then you went back and did some research, and they were taking robbing Peter to pay Paul. They were taking money from the other side.
Not necessarily robbing, but
there I go again. I'm using a cliche like I did the other day.
Right.
And it got me in trouble. No robbing, no stealing.
No, but taking from one coffer
exactly.
to put
it
into
the other,
right.
And accounting for it over here and saying, look what we made. And then when you did some research, you're like, well, you didn't really make that. You just shifted it from over here to over there. And so, you know, and they stopped that. Basically, and so you had that come into play, and then you had some bad teams, and nobody showed up at the games these last 2 years, and you had that, and then you're paying how many people still on the payroll that aren't working here anymore? I mean, so you put all that together, and I don't know why we'd be shocked at that. Nobody's suggesting the school's going to close its doors or drop out of Division One or anything like that. I don't know. You're the one who sent me that thing. It's still an incredibly valuable property, didn't you? Weren't you the one who sent me that in terms of? Was it Forbes or who did that article about in terms of exposure, most valuable football programs? Weren't you the one who sent me that? I'm almost sure you were.
Maybe, yeah.
It was not about like projecting out for wins or anything like that. Not that they won't win games. I mean, especially with Jeff here. But it was about the amount of exposure and how many eyeballs go on TV sets when they play and stuff like that. And it wound up, I think Florida State was first and I think Louisville was second. I'm almost sure of that. Which shouldn't surprise you based on the size of our market and the fact that, you know, we like football pretty well around here. I think you sent me that. But again, my head is a little bit fried over what's going on over the last bit. So let me see if I can find that article now as we once again look back and and try and find it. Anyway, it's valuable. It doesn't matter if I find it. Here's a text that says exactly what I just told you. That's what it comes down to. So it's not important enough to waste time looking for it. But the point being, nobody's suggesting it's not a valuable athletic a product. Nobody's suggesting it's not, it's like, oh, my God, they're getting ready to shutter the place up. Nobody's suggesting any of those things. It's just, I think he made an interesting point that they couldn't just go in and as most of us who love the place would feel, man, if that's the guy you wanted, man, who cares? Go get him. He wants to come. He wants to come here. Just go get him. But they don't have the kind of money to do that. And that's, you know, who am I to? It's not my money. So who am I to say they should be doing it? You got to be fiscally responsible. And in fairness, it's exactly what they told us they were going to do. They're not going to be irresponsible when it comes to just going out. They put themselves in a wacky place because they kind of played a little too free and easy with money for a while. So that's just what seems to be the reality. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back.
Fran Fraschilla is scheduled to join us.
At when?
at 2:30.
All right, so he'll be with
us.
We
can do a Big League Haircuts V-Stakes today. Big League Haircuts, 5-0 Tuesdays, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, $5 off a haircut ticket of two or more. Two area locations, Taylorsville Road and Bardstown Road. Play hard, look good, Big League Haircuts. Your chance to win a free haircut if you pick the correct horse in today's V-Stakes.
We're going to do something goofy. I think
we're gonna go. We're gonna do dogs. We're gonna go to a dog.
No. We're not doing that. But we're going to not tell you what the race is. Not tell you anything about the race. Just we're doing our own historical racing. I am going to find a race. I'm just going to tell you how many horses are in it. I'm not going to tell you what the odds are. I'm not going to tell you anything. Just say pick a number, and then
you're going to pick a random race.
Oh, and it's going to be a famous race.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So and then you know once all the entries are in, I'm going to say, for example, and now we're going to play you the 1983 Kentucky Derby, and then hit that, and then we'll go from there. And so you won't know going in. So you'll just, and you know, we'll play one. And
so how many we should?
I don't want to do the Derby; it's too many horses. But I'll do like maybe you know we're going to do in celebration because I'm excited about this. You don't even know about this. Your mom does though.
What is this?
I am boasting. June 5th, I'm going to New York to go to see on Elmer? That Friday cricket, yeah. The World Cup cricket. In 25,000 seats temporary stadium they built there, and the tickets are almost sold out already for the Friday match. And then I'm going to take the train
right in Bobby V's wheelhouse.
Up to Albany and go to Saratoga because the Belmont is at Saratoga this year because the Belmont is undergoing massive construction, and so the Belmont Stakes are going to be run at Saratoga this year. They never run in June in Saratoga, so I'm going to go up for that. And that's two things on my bucket list. I'm going to see a cricket match, world-class cricket in person, and I'm going to see Saratoga. I've seen the Belmont, but I've never been to Saratoga. So we're going to go do that and maybe catch a Broadway show while we're there as well. So we're doing all that. And so in honor of that, I'm going to find a race, maybe a Belmont Stakes. Their fields are usually not that long. So not that full. But the Belmont's a long race. I don't know if we want to go that. Deep. Maybe we'll go to Saratoga. I don't know. It's going to be a surprise. It's going to be a damn surprise.
So what do people need to do? They need to text
us a number. But you know what? Let me see if I can pick a race right now so I can tell you how many.
Yeah, I was going to say okay. That's only fair.
So let's see. Let's do this will be great if I can find one that goes this far back. This will be great. it's entertaining. All right, here we go. Let's see how many horses are in this race. And then I can tell you to send us a number. Okay. Ooh, wow. It was evidently a pretty good race. Pretty good race, evidently, this one. I need to know how many horses were in the field. Damn it, I can't get entries unless somebody tells me how many people are in the damn field. All right, Nick, I'm botching this whole thing up because I can't find how many God-blessed horses are in the field. Let's see. Not going to tell me, is it? Not going to tell me. It's just not going to tell me.
Oh, geez. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Just give us a number 1 through 12.
Yeah, but there may not be 12 horses. Then it's not fair. Then you're just not putting. You're not making it fair. Let's go see. I think I have one more site I can search, and I can do it here. And all right, here we go. Oh, there we go. Here we go. I can tell you exactly how many horses are in the field. Stop. Pause. All right. Send us a number between. Let's see here. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1 through 8. There you go. Send us 1 through 8. Whew, finally. Thank goodness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1 through 9.
1 through 9. One okay, through there nine, we go.
And
got
you'll
it.
Be entered in our contest. And that's as much as I'm telling you. I'm not telling you what race it is. I'm not telling you what year it is. I'm not telling you any damn thing about it. Just.
Wow.
Well, because.
Playing this one awfully close to the vest, are we?
We are. Playing it very close to the vest. All right, so we'll do that. So send us a number 1 through 9, and we'll give you a free haircut if you win. And that's as much as we're going to tell you. And then we'll have some fun. We'll do that because we need some fun. But Fran Frischel is going to join us next. ESPN 680-1057.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. We're in this together. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Evidently, James is walking around here with shoes that are worth like $2,000.
$1,700.
And I don't understand why we don't rob him.
Because we like James.
We do?
Yes.
I didn't think we
yes.
Did. I wasn't aware of that.
It's MVP. It's MVP James.
Yeah, MVP James.
Speaking of MVP, a guy who had the call for that very damned entertaining Indiana State team on ESPN yesterday, Fran Fraschilla joins us right now. Franny, I was lucky enough to do the game Sunday. You got last night. Was that fun or what? Is that place unbelievable?
You know what's fun about it? We both know the NIT. You know, let's face it, everybody wants to be in the NCAA tournament. But at the end of the day, when you get to the NIT, you're in the postseason. If your kids want to play and you have a good team, you can go a long way. And there's a joy about the NIT that you and I have experienced the last few days. Those fans at Indiana State absolutely love the team. And the energy in that building, Bobby, like it was Sunday, was incredible last night. And you know me, I'm a joy of the game guy.
Yes.
I don't bash the NCAA or referees or do that stuff. I just love good basketball, and that was fun. And that is a fun team, and it very much reminds me of a team I coached in 1995 that dominated its league, lost in a heartbreaker in the championship game, and if there were analytics back then, we would not have gotten a tournament at Manhattan, and we would not have knocked off the number four seeded Oklahoma. This team last night that I saw could win games in the NCAA tournament, but they didn't get that chance.
Well, and we're not going to get the chance, evidently, to get Josh Schertz here because I guess the
anything new today in Louisville?
Oh, no, nothing, Fran. Nothing shaking. So I guess he's going to wind up going to St. Louis. He signed some sort of a memorandum of agreement, even though it wasn't a contract, and there was a buyout wouldn't pay it. I don't know, but I think he wanted to come here. In fact, I know he wanted to come here, but that's irrelevant for the fans here because they want to know who they are getting, and I got to be candid, I don't know Pat Kelsey at all. What do you know about him?
Oh, man, let me tell you something. Louisville. First of all, I don't know the AD there, but I know he's a Villanova guy, and I know he's got some great basketball people in his in his Rolodex. This is hiring Skip Prosser on a case of Red Bull. You know, this guy makes Pete Gillen look like a Buddhist monk. He's a terrific coach. I was talking to Rick Bozich earlier, and Rick said something interesting. He won 5 mid-major tournaments in 12 years. Now, Bobby, the hardest thing I ever did as a young head coach was try to win your conference tournament when you're the best team in the league all year. The pressure is incredible. And the simple fact is he's got a record. He's got He's got great bloodlines when you look at Skip and Pete Dillon. He worked for Chris Mack. But quite frankly, I just think this is the best of Skip, Prosser. And, you know, having been a basketball junkie my whole life, there was a certain statesmanship about Denny Crum and even Rick Pitino to a degree. But Louisville doesn't need that right now. You know this better than I do. Louisville needs energy, excitement, someone who's passionate. Obviously, someone who I believe is an excellent basketball coach, excellent recruiter. And I just think this is a great hire. And a lot of Louisville fans have never heard of Pat Kelsey. But this is not your grandfather's Louisville. This is not Denny Crum. This is a whole new era. They have to pack that building again. You know better than I do. And I think Pat Kelsey is going to do it. I do. I think it's a great hire.
Well, that's what people wanted to hear around here. How would you define his style of play? Not his personal style, his style of play.
Yeah, I don't study at College of Charleston all year. I know he's been up tempo. I know his teams play with passion. You know, they're one of those teams where, and I've seen this on occasion where, you know, the best team in the league is about to lose and they somehow find a way to win. You know what I mean? Like, yep. You're 13-2 and you go on the road and you're down 9 with 2 minutes to go. And you think, oh, you know, College of Charleston, they're going to get upset today at Hofstra. Nope. You find a way to win. His teams are very competitive, tough, hard-nosed, and up-tempo. And I just think that, that's going to wear well. You know, he's been around basketball a long time, and everywhere he's been, whether it's as an assistant or as a head coach, he's had success. I think he had one losing year in all the years he's been a head coach. So he's a young guy to me, maybe because we're old, but he's got a lot of head coaching experience, and he's got, you know, like I said, the Skip Prosser family tree.
Well, I think that's what people wanted to know about. What do you think's going on up the road with our Paisan friend, John Calipari?
Well, I'm glad he's coming back. You know, I don't talk to John much anymore. What befuddles me, and you remember this, and I realize it's a different era, different kids, recruiting all these kids. Every single kid who signs at Kentucky, because of the track record Cal's had, thinks he's going to the NBA. And as much as you and I would love that opportunity to coach those guys when we were coaching, it's definitely not easy. The crazy thing about it is, I remember him, and we were really close back then when he was building UMass. And then a couple years later, I went to Manhattan College. I really leaned on him for coaching advice because he had a couple years of head start on me. And his UMass teams were, they were like, I don't know if you agree with this, they're like watching Houston play.
Yeah,
Kelvin Sampson's team.
That's a good analogy. I think that's a very good analogy, actually, yeah.
You know, they came at you and went for the juggler. They weren't always the most talented. Now, certainly later, he got Marcus Camby, and Lou Rowe turned out to be a great player, All-American. But the Edgar Padillas, the Carmelo Traviesos, Danner Dingle, these guys were like, they were warriors. And I don't know why he got away from that style of play, that mentality, because I really haven't seen it probably in the last 7 or 8 years at Kentucky. And granted, he's recruiting a different kind of player. But I watched Houston practice 15 times this year, and they never, ever, ever have a bad practice because Kelvin Sampson will not let them. Mm. It's just not in their DNA. And so that's what I wish they would get back to. I think he had that mentality at Memphis.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that, too.
He had some hard-rocking dudes at Memphis that were come after you and go for the juggler. And, you know, they can beat you with great talent a lot, but I thought this year's defense from Kentucky was just abysmal. And that's just not the John Calipari I remember as a young coach.
See, it's funny you say that because that's my impression. Like when people made so much about, and I understand it was innovative, his dribble drive thing, and that's great. But the teams that were really good, even at Kentucky, when he had Anthony Davis, it was their defense that scared the crap out of you. I mean, they would just, you felt like you couldn't get a shot off in the lane. He was going to block everything. Their guards were harassing the snot out of you on the perimeter. And I think he got so much. I think he got sensitive to the criticism they got at Kentucky that, well, their offense is antiquated. And so he ramped it up this year, and they were shooting threes like crazy, and they could score. But that, like you said, that, I don't think that's really his DNA. I mean, he's like Kelvin Sampson in that regard. Kelvin, their offense is better. People underestimated Houston's offense, but he's about guarding you. I mean, he's about the way they play defense, right? I mean, that's kind of how his DNA is.
No question. No question. And so, you know, I'm glad he's back. He's done great by the school. You know, in many ways, the first part of this run, I don't know how long it's been. Jerry Tipton once asked me how long, you know, Jerry said to me, the great writer over in Lexington, as you know, Jerry said, I don't think anybody can last more than 10 years at Kentucky. And I told him, I said, no, you know, Cal, as long as Cal's healthy, he'll keep coaching at Kentucky. But now I think he needs to get rejuvenated, honestly. And hopefully he will. You know, hopefully he will. And, again, you know, a lot of talent. I think some of those guys, like Dillingham and Shepherd, are top 15 picks, so they're gone. But like to see them get back to a little bit more grittier style of play. But, I mean, what do I know? I'm 30,000 feet, you know, above the fray, so to speak.
All right, parting question before we go. Is it just simply Connecticut's tournament to lose? What are you looking at?
You know, it's the old story. When they play their A game, they're the best team in the country. But as we've seen this year, they go to Seton Hall, and Klingon plays a part of the game. He gets hurt, and they lose by 15. If you play your A game and they play their C game, then they can be beat by a quality team, maybe among the top, let's say, eight teams that are left. But if they play anywhere near their A level, even a B level performance, they are the best team. And we just talked about Cal. The one thing you know about Danny Hurley, and I've got to know Danny, you know, like you probably remember when Danny was playing at White Eagle Bingo Hall over in Jersey City. But I've known Danny Hurley since he was a teenager, and he's Kelvin Sampson. He's not having a bad day of practice. And very rarely are they going to take a day off in a game. Like, they get beat at Creighton, get it, you know, on the road, 16,000. But our neutral site and the way they play with their intensity and their talent, a couple NBA guys in that starting five, you have to play really well to beat them. And it's not impossible. You know, we've seen some upsets. You know, you know a little bit about upsets in your history. It's not impossible, but you have to absolutely hope they're off their game and you play well.
Do you think I've thought about this? I like you talk about not really having seen College of Charleston that much, even though they're good. I haven't seen San Diego State very much either. But you and I both a bit of historians of the game. You remember the year that Mike Krzyzewski lost to UNLV by like 37 or something in the championship, and then came back the next year. Arguably, Tark had an even better team the following year, and he beat them in the semis in a one possession game. Do you think that could be the script for San Diego State here? The familiarity, if you will, and they get a rematch the following year?
I do, because once you've played a team, and especially if you've been beaten, you know, soundly, as good as San Diego State was last year to get to the championship, I think we've seen this throughout sports forever, that second time around, it's like, you know what, we're going to punch the bully in the nose first.
I agree.
And that can happen. And then it comes down to what Jeff Van Gundy once told me, that I always remember, when the ball is in the air, on the way to the rim, good coach, bad coach,
So
if the ball goes in for San Diego State and somebody's hot, and then, you know, all of a sudden they're up 10 in the second half with 14 to go, and maybe UConn gets a little bit jittery. You know, we've seen that happen often. So I think San Diego State is definitely more prepared this time around. The young man, Ladee, who's been in a couple places, Ohio State, TCU, turned into an All-American. I think there will be the familiarity factor, which will help them, but ultimately you still got to beat a really good team. Because we know San Diego State's going to compete and play hard, but we also know that UConn is going to come after the juggler also.
And we also know that UConn's playing basically at home in Boston. They're going to have the whole state of Connecticut's going to be there. That's a fact.
Yeah, well, the old story is they didn't have to get on a plane until if they win and they go to Phoenix.
Yep.
Brooklyn and Boston, you know, pretty equidistant from stores. And so, I think I'm anxious to see that game. It's not the most intriguing game, I think, of the 16. of the games left, but it's certainly one that we're just admiring. I think, Bobby, you could check this. I may be off by a game, but I think UConn is like 48-5 since last January 30th.
That's probably about right. I will look that up, but I think that's about right. Well, I was going to let you go, but now you say you don't think it's the most intriguing game. What is the most intriguing game in your mind, do you think?
Well, there's a number of them. But for me, Illinois and Iowa State is intriguing to me because I know Iowa State so well, and they're a great defensive team, and Illinois is a great offensive team. And I happen to think, as much as I love defense – and you didn't.
That's true. Very true.
That I just think offense beats defense. All things being equal, offense beats defense in the NCAA tournament because everybody plays good defense. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. And I just think Illinois is a little bit better offensively. And then who is Creighton playing? Remind me because I'm in an airport right now.
I'm sorry. Say it again. Who's playing? Who's what?
Who is Creighton playing?
Creighton is playing. I have to get this punched up in front of me. You're going to have to indulge me here. Hope you're not missing your flight. You okay time-wise? Or are we?
No, but I remember looking at that game saying, ooh, that's going to be
Tennessee.
A fun game.
Creighton is playing Tennessee.
That's a great game. And that's another example of offense and defense, although Tennessee's got Dalton Connect this year who could put the ball in the basket. But that's something tells me that Creighton – is going to be able to score.
I think so, too. And I love Rick Barnes, and I think he does a great job. But I was struck with the same thing you were. And that's, by the way, the last game of this round. That'll be the late game on Friday.
Oh, my goodness. So. That's the one that's starting 11:30 Eastern time?
10:10 Eastern, yeah.
Can you believe that?
Unbelievable.
Who did the scheduling? I mean, I love the NCAA. I'm not a bad – like I said, I don't bash them. Except when they deserve it, which is probably 4 or 5 times a week. Still, who thought that was a good idea to play 10-10 Sunday night? No. I mean, that's
Friday night. It's Friday night. It's a Friday night.
Friday night. Friday. Yeah. I'm sorry. Friday night. Yeah, but even such, that's insane.
TV baby, but without it, you don't have a job. So you should be.
That's true. That's true. I'm not bad. I just bit the hand that fed me.
Hey, Freddie, thank you so much. I enjoyed your call last night. Travel safe. We'll talk to you down the road. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
All right. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Bobby.
Freddie for sure. We like him. Big fan of Freddie.
He's a good boy. He's a good boy. We like
Freddie. All right. Here's the race. And once I give you this, you can't send any more entries in. Once I tell you right now, I'm going to give you one last chance to get an entry in at numbers 1 through 9. Because once I give you the names of the horses, you'll know what race it is, and then you'll know who probably, you may know who wins, you may not, but you could look it up. So this is your last call for the horses for this V Stakes, where you can win a free haircut from our friends, I'm trying to figure out, can we do two haircuts for the odds?
Let's just keep it simple. We'll give a one haircut and a t-shirt.
Okay.
There you go.
To whoever wins this from our friends at Big League Haircuts. And here it, so here's your last call. We get some entries. I'm going to give you 2 minute warning. 2 more minutes to send us numbers 1 through 9. Because I'm amazed. I'm thrilled about this. People love to enter this for some reason, I guess. Because you know what? It doesn't cost you any money. It's just you're playing with no money and you can win a free haircut. And they're great folks over at Big League Haircuts. So just send us numbers 1 through 9. And you got 1 more minute, and then I'm going to give you the names of the horses, and some of you will recognize some of them, and you might even know who wins this race. And then we're going to play it for you. And it's very cool. It's an historical race, a very historical race, in point of fact. That's all I'm going to say to you. So there you go. So they're still coming in. Yeah, I'm going to look at them come in, Nick. Looks like a ticker tape.
Yep, I always love that. Also, I want to remind everybody, we want to give a shout out to our friends at Matzah Pie. Can't wait. It's almost Easter, so I can start eating the food drops again.
I can't eat, and I gave up pizza, so you can't eat any of the food drops. I did, however, have their focaccia bread, which I did not give up for Lent. Oh, my God.
To die for. It's fantastic.
So good. In fact, I'm going to get whatever's left. I'm just taking
it. No, I got to be honest. I love the pizza. The pizza's great, but the bread is
my favorite. So good.
When they drop the cookies, the cornbread cookie is, I think, the best cookie in the city.
Wow.
Truly. It's fantastic.
It's a strong cookie.
It's a very strong cookie. And there's great cookies in the city. But I love their cornbread cookie. When they bring that's my favorite. But then the bread is...
Outstanding.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
If you're just tuning in, wondering what's going on, you're just literally tuning in. How they talk about this and everything, because it appears the coaching cake is about to come out of the oven for Pat Kelsey, the head coach at College of Charleston, to be the next coach here at Louisville. That appears to be how it's going to play out. It appeared that Josh Schertz, the reason it went so long is I think they were trying to work out. He had a buyout. He had to get out of the deal with St. Louis. I guess Louisville couldn't come to terms with doing that. I'm fairly certain he wanted to come, but the money was prohibitive, and so he is out of the picture, and so they went to Pat Kelsey, and that's where he'll be on his way, apparently, here very soon. So there's that, so if you're wondering. All right, here we go.
Wait, I want to give thanks to Matzah Pie.
Oh, I thought you already did.
No, Matzah Pie for dropping off some epic pizzas and got you bread for lunch today. Head out to Matzah Pie's Anchorage location for a unique dining experience. Also visit the Douglas Loop and Butchertown locations. Stop in, pick up some 1020 craft brews, and discover the delicious handmade brick oven pizza that is Matzah Pie.
Very nice. No, it is delicious. And thanks to Greg Elliott for bringing by Muhammad Ali and Ellie De La Cruz.
Home opener this weekend, Friday.
So that was good. All right, here's the no more entries. That's it. Cut off. Here's your field. We are going to play the 100th running of the Belmont Stakes. Number one is Call Me Prince. Number two, it doesn't matter the odds because you've already got your bets in. Number two is Champion. Or Champion. I can't tell if that's an A or no. It is Champion. There you go. That's number two. Number three is Jade Animal. Number four is Forward Pass. Number five, a very famous horse, Forward Pass. Number five is TV Commercial. Number six is Ardios. Number seven is Stage Door Johnny. Number eight is Draft Card. And number nine is Serbo. And hopefully you don't remember this race, because then you'll be surprised. If you do, then you know perhaps whether your horse won or didn't win, because that is where we are. So here we go. This was from 1968, the 100th running of the Belmont Stakes. And we are now going to play it for you as soon as I push this button right here. Here we go.
B-Stakes. Big League Haircuts. B-Stakes.
Big League Haircuts. Good luck. And... here we go.
As they come away from the gate, Jade Amico and Forward Pass are going out there along with Call Me Prince. Serbo up from the outside. And as they go to the first turn, Call Me Prince is getting through along the rail. And Forward Pass is moving out now to take over the lead. Forward Pass to the lead. Call Me Prince is second. Serbo is third. Jade Amico is fourth. Draft Card is fifth. Running sixth in the field is TV Commercial. Stage Giorgiani is seventh at this point. Champion is running eighth. And Ardois is trailing the field. We're midway around the first turn, and Forward Pass is on the lead. It's Forward Pass now showing the way by two lengths. Call Me Prince, under a snug hold, is running second by two lengths. Serbo is a close third. Jade Amico is now running fourth. Draft Card is trying to edge up fifth on the outside. And Stage Door Johnny, as they round the turn and go into the back stretch, starts to improve as well. He's going up sixth and moving up on the outside. TV Lark is running seventh. Champion is now eighth, and Ardois is trailing the field. Forward Pass showing the way. Midway along the back stretch, Forward Pass is out there now leading by a length and a half. Call Me Prince is second by three lengths. Serbo is running third. Stage Door Johnny has now come to fourth on the outside. Stage Door Johnny moving up now to challenge Serbo as they go for the far turn. Forward Pass is out in front, leading by a length and a half. The second horse is Call Me Prince. Stage Door Johnny and Serbo are now head-to-head for third. Moving up is Draft Card, coming to fifth on the extreme outside. And Jade Amico is now running sixth with TV Commercial seventh, Champion eighth, and Ardois is last as they go to the far turn. Forward Pass, favorite in the race, is out in front by two lengths. Call Me Prince is running second. Stage Door Johnny is moving now. There he goes up to second on the outside. Forward pass is in the lead by a length and a quarter. Stage door Johnny is second by about a head. Call Me Prince is third. Draft Guard is fourth. They've got a quarter of a mile to go with forward pass showing the way all the way to here. Here they come out of the turn and into the home stretch. Now it's stage door Johnny going after forward pass. Down the straightaway, forward pass fighting to hold on. An eighth of a mile to go and stage door Johnny is coming at him. Stage door Johnny has him passed. At the 16th pole, stage door Johnny moves out. His forward pass second, Call Me Prince is third. Here's the finish line. Stage Door Johnny, the winner by a length.
There you go. Stage Door Johnny with the upset. Went off at, I believe, 4-1. I think those were the odds on Stage Door Johnny. And if you had Stage Door Johnny in that race, you, my friends, are going to have won the V Stakes. Stage Door Johnny, let me make sure I give you the right number. That would probably help. There it is. Stage Door Johnny. Boom. There we go. There's the chart for the 1968 Belmont Stakes. Stage Door Johnny was the 7 horse, went off at 9-2, and one forward pass was second. Call Me Prince was third. The numbers were 7-4-1. So 7 is the winner, and I know we had a bunch of 7s because I looked at them. So congratulations to all of you. So there you go. We had a little fun. Take a little respite from the emotionally draining stretch that was the basketball search for Louisville, which evidently has reached an end now with Pat Kelsey, although it literally was going on today as yeah. we were on the air. They were talking with Josh Schertz and Pat Kelsey, and Matt Norlander, to his credit, seemed to be the most accurate in depicting it. We had people saying it was a done deal. It was not a done deal at that point when he said it wasn't. They were still talking to Schertz, and it was only not long after that that they couldn't reach a buyout settlement with Schertz's situation, and his name was withdrawn from consideration. That's when it became official, and that's when we reported it. So, again, in the interest of rushing to things, you have to wait until all the information's in, and the information was that Pat Kelsey's the guy they, I don't want to say settled on, that's not fair to him. That's the guy they ultimately wound up at, and he will be apparently the next coach here for the University of Louisville. And we'll all get to know Pat Kelsey. He is, you know, you want a high-energy kind of sideline guy, he's that guy. So there you go. You're going to have a guy who's got a little energy going.
Do we have time to do We Want to Know Wednesday from the interns? Do they have some stuff? It is Wednesday, after all. We Want to Know Wednesday.
I don't think they have any.
You guys got anything? Nothing? Oh, no, they got something. All right, come run up to the mic. What do we have for We Want to Know Wednesday?
We Want to Know Wednesday.
We Want to Know Wednesday.
We Want to Know Wednesday.
All right, gentlemen, if we're facing a certain problem in the bedroom, I got two solutions for you on this March 27th. It is International Viagra Day.
Huh.
And if that doesn't work, it is also International Whiskey Day. So pick your poison.
There we go.
One can work against you and one can work for you. One can be used to... Anyway, what's the next one?
All right, so today, March 27th, is American Red Cross Giving Day, where we're supposed to make generous donations to help those in need. It also is Holy Wednesday, to remember Christ's sacrifice, with Easter upcoming this Sunday.
That is true. It is Holy Wednesday.
There you go. I've
forgotten about that. Yeah.
Good stuff. I love how those could not have been more polar opposite.
Absolutely.
Intern Cowboy comes up. It's all about giving in Christ, and then Gager comes up and goes like, hey, boner pills and whiskey.
Tell me something good.
It's a certain way of giving, though. They're both giving in their own respective ways.
Okay. In that regard, we'll call it a show. So thanks, everybody, for being here. Striebel's next. Unless you know something I don't, we'll try it again tomorrow. You have a good day. ESPN 680, 105.7.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get up to $750 off a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
For a tournament full of buzzer beaters and amazing moments, BetMGM is giving out insurance tokens to college hoops fans in Kentucky. Simply add a wager on college basketball to your bet slip